Would you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, to number 90. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. This morning! That's why this section's not here. Steve Heiser's really okay, everybody. He just... I hope you had anywhere near the kind of week I had. I've just had a great week. Had 28, well, actually up to 31 Heinies at the beach, celebrating our annual 4th of July reunion. We had a float in the Seaside Parade, which, of course, we won the grand prize. There is no grand prize. We just awarded it to ourselves. All week long, we did what you do at family reunions. We ate together. We told stories and memories of being together. I mean, it's just, you know how reunions are? They're good things. And some reunions are just an afternoon picnic or something. This was 4 or 5 days together. It was really a wonderful time. I got asked by all of my East Coast relatives, some from New York City, some from Virginia Beach, and then one set of family down in California, that I don't get to see on a regular basis. And each one of them took the time during the week to kind of get me aside. Do you know how you do? Because now we want to get serious. We want to talk about special stuff. And they wanted to know, this is kind of cool, am I still working? Because other members of the family are now retiring. And there's some, you know, what have we done in our culture to make retirement something wonderful? Well, I want you to know, I get to tell them, no, I'm not retired. I get to do this every Sunday that I can. And I found myself all week long actually kind of waiting for this morning. This is the greatest thing you've got in your life. I mean, next to your individual relationship with God, this book, Thy Word, is a lamp unto your feet, dear ones. Amen? And so we start reading the Psalms, and there's so many ways to approach this, so many commentaries, books on the Bible, the shelf this long. So what I choose to do is I read the list from Psalm 90 to 119, I think it is, the way that you are invited to read, and I just ask the Lord to speak to me through those Psalms. I've read them before. Some of them I had underlined in certain places. Do you? Those of you that still have a paper Bible, how, Rex, do you underline with a digital Bible? You can underline. And take notes. Well, I'm still in rebellion. I'm sorry. The various writers of the Psalms continue to deal in this section with life issues, with faith issues, with the very things that you and I are dealing with today. Are you dealing with anything? Yeah. Have you got some stuff you're dealing with? Okay. You probably find it here in this reading. Psalm number 90, which is the beginning of what is called Book 4. I don't know how they created these four or five books, but they've got it broken down, and this is the beginning. This psalm, they say, was written by Moses. Can you just imagine? Do you remember Moses? Can you imagine what it would be like to sit down with Moses and have a conversation? I mean, somehow we put him on some kind of pedestal that's not approachable, and he died years ago, and it's like Moses isn't real to us. Moses can be real. Here, it's like you're sitting down with a guy and he's going to share with you. I want you to read with me. I'm using the New Living Translation, so if you're using something different, go buy a New Living Translation. But here we go, verses 1 through 8. Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God. That'd be a pretty good way to start every morning, wouldn't it? Instead of waking up in the morning and start worrying about all the things on the to-do list, what if we got up and said, you are our God? You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. For you, 1,000 years are a passing day, as brief as a few night hours. You sweep people away like dreams that disappear. They're like grass that springs up in the morning. We sang a song about in the morning. Verse 6, in the morning it blooms and flourishes, but by the evening it's dry and withered. We wither beneath your anger. We are overwhelmed by your fury. You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. We live our lives beneath your wrath, ending our years with a groan. Say it with me, groan. Now, isn't that a happy song? The Old Testament contains a lot of imagery of how tough life can be. The book of Ecclesiastes is one of the favorites, talking about how life is so temporary and vain and useless. Do you realize that all of this took place? All of this that you could be thinking in your life, that, oh, what's the purpose? What's the use? You come into the life and somebody raises you up and you don't get treated the way you should be treated. And then you marry the wrong person and then you take the drugs and the booze. You know what I'm saying? You can get so despondent about how things are. And they say, okay, go ahead and pull the plug. Or maybe that's not your case at all. Maybe your case is just that you get old. And that as you get older and older and you see the wrinkles coming, and I mean, then the joints don't work and, you know, things start falling. What's the use? Dear ones, I don't care what side of that page you're on, you're missing this. You're missing the cross of Jesus Christ if that's how you're feeling. Moses' hope was in a Savior that he hadn't yet met. True or false? He'd encountered the very living God. How many times? How many times did God do something in Moses' life that was just spectacular? Yeah. He lived a long time, and there are some key things in his life that were absolutely amazing. And I pray that you're not like this part of Moses, emphasizing the tough times. Look at verse 12. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. How many of you are getting to the place where you understand life is temporary? Okay? You young people can't raise your hand. To you, life is immortal. But as you get a few years on you and you start seeing how it's going, you can start wondering. And I point you again to the cross of Jesus. You might be having surgery. You might be passing blood clots. You might be facing something. You might have a leg removed. When I heard that this young man was going to have his leg removed, I said, he is now faced with a decision. How is he going to live the rest of his life? Is this going to be the beginning of a downhill because it's all over now, I'm losing a leg? Or is this going to be a sense of wonder? What now? And what kind of prosthesis will I get? What will I be able to do? How will my life now be better and different? You got a choice to make. The psalmists are pretty graphic in laying out how it is. Psalm 91 is a very popular psalm because it's about God's protection. Again, verses 1 through 8. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. How many of you like that? Do you ever need rest in your life? Are we dwelling in the shelter of the Most High God? This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. This guy is working through some things, isn't he? And I implore you to make these psalms real in your own life. It's okay. Maybe sometimes, how many of you have been taught when to make a decision, you should take out a legal pad, draw a line down the middle, vertically, and you should put the pros over here and the cons over here. How many? Have you ever heard of this technique? It's a great way to try and make some decisions. Should I buy? Should I sell? Should I move? Should I go? Should I do this or do that? And so you write all the pros over here. You write all the cons over here. How many of you, if I gave you the yellow paper, and I asked you on the con side, on the negative side of life, how many of you would have no trouble filling that out? One honest man. Thank you, Jack. We together could fill in a whole bunch of negative stuff, right? And if that's the only thing you look at, that's driving your life, correct? What does the word of God, thy word, is a lamp unto your path. What would the positive side of God's ledger look like? Okay, so now I'm asking you to actually answer the question. What would the positive ledger, positive side of the ledger of your life have on it? I heard salvation. Forgiveness. Promises. Guidance. Peace. Is that it? Love. Rest. Friendship. Joy. An inheritance. I heard something about that last week. An inheritance. A heavenly inheritance. Freedom. Healing. Satisfaction. Being. How many of you could say that you are actually satisfied with the way your life is going? Good. Good for you. How many of you are dissatisfied with the way life is going? So there's an answer for you. It's not an embarrassment to say I don't like the way things are going. What do you have the power to change? Huh? Right here. I might have some form of cancer that I don't know how to change, but I can change how I deal with it. True or false? I might feel alone in life. I have the power to change that. Not to pick on anybody, but I have heard people say something like this. Sure be nice if the pastor'd call me. Sure be nice, you know, if somebody would look in on me once in a while. You hear where I'm going? I heard the answer already. Phone works both ways. You call, I'm coming. I don't turn down many meals. I'm not trying to work the crowd here, folks. I think that you and I can learn a lot by changing the way we think, by changing how we look at stuff. And when you don't know how to do that, I get it. Go to the book. Go to the book. Frequently, I can be in some council with somebody about something and ask them, have you checked in on the Bible?
What?
Have you asked God how to look at this issue? Oh, no, I'm not very religious. Well, see? See how that's working for you? If we don't go to the source, we don't, Larry, the oxygen and the hydrogen don't go to water if we don't go where the water is. Right? Verse 16. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Who's the them? The people who are seeking the Lord. Now, I know what somebody's going to say. Yeah, well, what about that child that died, you know, in miscarriage? Anybody lose a child in miscarriage? I've lost two. Anybody lose a child in miscarriage? It's terrible, huh? Hurts your heart. Let me just reassure you, they win. They went to Jesus. How do I know that? How do I know that those who die in miscarriage go to heaven? How do I know that? What does the Bible say?
The Bible says when David lost his child because of his own sin, he said, I won't see you here, but I will see you again.
We're going to come to a psalm here in a while in our reading that says, before the foundation of the world, I knew you. Now, I don't know what your theology is about who God is, but the Bible says, before the foundation of the planet, God knew you. Does God love you? Did Jesus say, permit the little children to come to me? If we know that Jesus wants the little children to come to him, who are the littlest children? Wow. Can you see, folks, there's a lot of ways to process what's going on in your life. Whether it's from the very young, the mother that loses a child in miscarriage, to the very old person who's wondering what's it all about. Like dear Pete Edwards, day after day, for how many years? At least the last 5 or 6 years. Day after day, he just wanted to go be with Jesus. And at first they thought maybe he's suicidal. He wasn't suicidal. If anything, he was a strong man of faith who just wanted to be with Jesus. Let the psalm speak to you. Psalm 99. Go ahead with that on the computer, please. Here's one of them, Rex.
To thee, O Lord, among the people, I will sing praises to thee among the nations. For thy steadfast love is great, it is great to the heavens. Thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over
That'll change your day. If you're having a bum day, go out and tell your neighbor, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens," and they will run from you. I think worship is a big deal. We try to make an emphasis here on worship, declaring the value of God that we have. Look at Psalm 102. And there is a reason for us to learn about worship here. Verse 18. Let this be recorded for future generations, so that people not yet born will praise the Lord. Does that say that in your translation? Something close to that? Have you ever thought that on Sunday morning in worship, or driving down 26 with a CD playing, or gathered in a home group singing praise songs, have you ever thought that your worship was setting a stage for future generations? Wow. I think I shared with this months ago, but Amanda invited me and Carol to a worship concert downtown. And it was this new, modern, kind of wonderful kind of worship that's going around. And we got there, and we were sitting in the chair. And it was so stinking loud. It was so loud, it just started to bother me. And then they had flashes of fire going up and smoke machines happening. You know what I'm saying? These young people are nuts. And then it really started to get to me. They're doing the worship, and all these cell phone cameras came up. I mean, if you haven't experienced this, this is a cultural phenomenon. I think it's for talking to people. No, no, no. It is now a camera to record everything you're seeing. So what I am seeing, I'm trying to worship God, and all I'm seeing is 5,000 cameras. And folks, I was irritated. I was just getting, I'm thinking, well, I can't leave Amanda, spend all this money, and thank you. And then it's like the Holy Spirit, Jesus smacked me, Amanda. I got Jesus smacked. And I started to look around the room at who was there. And who was holding up the cameras. And who was worshiping God. Who was it? The young people. The very people we old people wish would do this. We have a tremendous impact on next generations. But if this Bible is true, people not yet born will praise the Lord. It says, tell them the Lord looked down from his sanctuary. He looked down to earth from the heaven to hear the groans of the prisoners and to release those condemned to die. Look at this next verse, 21 and 2. And so the Lord's fame will be celebrated in Zion, his praises in Jerusalem, when multitudes gather together and kingdoms come to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. They tell me that the greatest percentage of people living in Israel today, Jewish people living in Israel, do not practice their faith. They are what is called secular Jews. They're very proud to be Jewish, but they have kind of abandoned their faith practice to be secular. You with me? How would it be? How do you think Jerusalem could change if those remaining few could go out in the streets and worship the Lord? Wow! They could change the nation. We know that God loves Israel. We are commanded to pray for Israel. But here from Israel's very people, we read, "He looked down to earth from the heavens to hear the groans of the prisoners, to release those condemned to die. When multitudes gather together and," what does it say? "Kingdoms come to worship the Lord." A day is coming, church, when kingdoms are going to gather to worship the Lord. Not just America. Not just our Canadian friends to the north or our Mexican friends to the south. When kingdoms will come together to worship the Lord. It's going to take something than a 7.2 earthquake to make it happen. But it's coming. Wow, this is so cool. Psalm 103, I've written my Bible, I just call it a pep talk for the soul. If your soul is low today, if there's anything going on in life that has you dragged down, go home and read Psalm 103 about 9 times and it'll begin to work on you. It's a wonderful pep talk for your soul. It begins, "Let all that I am praise the Lord." And I challenge you, you can't hardly say that very opening line, "Let all that I am praise the Lord," if you're grumbling inside about some problem. Because the Spirit of God will say, "Oh yeah, you're going to praise the Lord in this?" Yes, I choose. Say it with me. I choose to praise the Lord. No matter what. I choose to praise the Lord. No matter what. Psalm 105 messes with you a bit. Psalm 105 gets to speak about a real guy. The Bible character you know is Joseph. And Joseph had some difficulties. I'll pick it up at verse 16. "He called for a famine on the land of Canaan, cutting off its food supply." That is, God did that. "Then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them." Joseph, who had been sold as a slave. So we kind of know the story of Joseph as it comes to your mind, right? "They bruised his feet with fetters and placed his neck in an iron collar until the time came to fulfill his dreams." You young folks, every young person who can comprehend this should have this underlined in your Bible. The next time you feel like you're in fetters or chains, think about your dreams. Don't concentrate on the fetters and chains. Concentrate on the dreams. Because God's Spirit will give you His passion. He'll give you hope. He'll give you dreams. And if all you focus on are the old-fashioned word chains and fetters, the iron collar about your... How many young people... Let me see the hand of everybody who thinks they're young. Young people. All right, so we got more than young people. How many of you have ever had what feels like an iron collar around your neck? That would be a mother or a father. Joseph got by all the periods of trouble by knowing what God said about him. He had dreams, he had visions, he had ideas of it. Did the circumstance match up with the Word of God? Huh? No, the circumstances didn't match up with what God was saying. So who are you going to live for and about? Circumstances or God? Verse 19. "Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, comma, the Lord tested Joseph's character." Now, it doesn't read that way in a lot of other Bibles. It reads it in a way that doesn't make a lot of sense. Who's got a different translation? Open. What's it say, Ari?
The word of the Lord tested him.
The word of the Lord tested him. What does that mean? I didn't think so. If you look this up in the Hebrew, not the poetry part of it, but just the actual Hebrew, the word tested there is the word that's used for smelting iron. How many of you know how metals are smelted? You take a hunk of metal and you put it in a crucible of some kind and you turn up the heat. What are you trying to do? First, melt the thing. So then you have a puddle of molten something, and something comes up to the top. Slag or dross or impurities, right? So if you started with a gold hunk, the gold hunk probably picked up some iron and some other kinds of materials, yeah? And you could have melt, and then you can scoop that off and throw it away and be left with the pure gold. God was testing, he was smelting Joseph and refining his character. Our culture needs smelting. We are being infiltrated with a lot of impurity. Hello? You can't read a magazine, you can't turn on the TV, you can't go to a movie, you can't go to a party. There's almost nowhere you can go where the dross isn't just multiplied. The impurities seem to be everywhere. And if you get up and walk around much in it, you get dirty. Just think about the way we live our lives. Tomorrow morning you're going to get up. If you go to work, you probably take a shower first, right? You go out and you play some athletic event, you probably take a shower later. If you go up to Brown's camp and go 4x4 in or whatever and get all dirty, you're going to... Dirt happens. And so we need to be purified. We need to be cleansed, yes? So we have this wonderful image right here, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I'm not here trying to concentrate on your dirt. Your dirt is evident to everyone. Let's concentrate on the cleaning that Jesus has done for us. Amen? Purified, smelted, refined, and tested, making our character strong. One of the first things the military tries to do with you when you join the military, male now or female, is the first thing they've got to do is get you no longer to be a civilian so that you are now a soldier, right? And oh, is this a fun process? They want to make something of you. I didn't get it when it started out. Drill instructor said, "We're going to make a man out of you." I was like, what? Was not a fun process. How many of you know that God wants to make a person of God out of you? Let him. Let him have his way with you. Psalm 106, verse 21. By the time you get to 21 and this litany of certain kind of people and what had been going on in their life and how they had been living, if you live your life in such a way that you're only looking at the circumstances of the world, only paying attention to the news reports on the media, if you live a life abandoned from God or not connected to Him, if you live a secular life, that is a life that is not committed and devoted to God, then you're going to be empty, hello? From the things of God. Does that make sense? And you will be full of the things of the world. So you can think of any friend or relative or loved one or anybody. This is so up to verse 21. Those people, whoever they are, they forgot God. their Savior, who had done such great things in Egypt, such wonderful things in the land of Ham, such awesome deeds at the Red Sea. Why did the Jewish people have tassels? Why did they put things on their doorpost? Why were they told to write things on their forehead? Why were they instructed to read the Torah all the time? What was God trying to do with his people? He was trying to keep them close. So in evangelical Christianity, thousands of years later, why do we say to people, praise the Lord, worship him, read your Bible, hold him close, pray without cease? Why do we say these things? Because out there, dear ones, all hell is breaking loose. There is an enemy, and it's not us. Hello? So we need to learn spiritual warfare. Psalm 108, please. What? There we go.
Exalt the Lord our God.
Exalt. Didn't we already do that? Sing it. And worship at his footstool. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he.
Holy is he. Holy is he.
It's a psalm. It's written right there in your Psalms. It's a command. It's an exhortation. It's a recommendation. It's a quiet suggestion. It's a shouted glory. Exalt the Lord. As we close a Sunday morning together, church, there's no motivation in your life to give glory to God and to exalt him if you don't believe it. If he's not real to you, you don't want to praise him. That seems silly. But if God is real to you, then you, I think, would want to be among the first to exalt the Lord. You would want to be one of the first to go into Jim's supermarket and act differently. How many of us have found ourselves going to a place and falling in line with the rest of the world, murmuring, complaining, growling, huh? How often does Carol have to remind me when I'm driving? She says, you're not in competition. Fortunately, I solved most of my driving problems when I bought a Prius. No more competition. It would be great this week for homework if you could spend some time exalting the Lord, singing songs of praise to him. If you want to go back and get your hymnal out of your closet that you grew up with or something, however it is that you can connect this week personally to Jesus Christ, I would recommend it. I would recommend getting this thing called faith out of the head and into the behavior, right? It's not just a thought. It's something we get to do. Psalm 119, where we closed our reading this week, talks about how joyful people of integrity are. Do you like that word integrity? If I were to ask you if you have integrity, would you be able to say yes? I am a person of integrity. And then listen to this, verse 9. How can a young person stay pure? How many of us older people know what impurity is all about? How many of us older people have tried some of it? Why do you never want to answer that question? We grow, we become ready to explore life and burst out and do our own thing and live a life of freedom. And the first thing we do if we're not careful is jump into the mud bath. And we get filthy with the world. The psalmist says, how can a young person stay pure? We parents, we can't hold them forever, right? We can't put the fetter around their neck forever. They're going to go off and they're going to try some dirt. Well, here's a way to keep pure. So this is not for you old folks. You figured this out. This is, again, for you young folks. Let me see your hands again. All of you are young. What does it say? How can a young person stay pure in the midst of all the dirt out there? What is the answer? Look at your Bibles. Look at verse 9, 10. By living this stuff called the Word of God. We sang the song this morning. It's been the fulfillment of the scripture and the teaching. Thy Word, oh God, your Word in me lights the way. Amen? Yeah. So for all the tested character in the room, know that the fire's been turned up, the dross has floated to the top. The Holy Spirit has come and swept it off. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, the pure gold remains. That's you and me. So let's start looking at each other as pure gold. Huh? You can go to the bank and scrape off a little and say, Lord, we celebrate this morning the life that you give us. We thank you that in the Psalms you provide for us so much richness. Help us not just to be bogged down by planet Earth. Help us, O God, to be those who exalt you and give you praise. Do you say amen? Here's what exalting the Lord can look like. This is what it can look like. I'm very patient. Here's what exalting the Lord can look like. Yeah. Here's how the young can stay pure. They can look like they believe this stuff. Oh, there you go. The light just went on. Yeah. Okay, now follow me. There you go. Hey, you are coming along, church. You're going to make it to heaven. Yes, you are. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Have a great week.